In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the Sunday of All Saints. And it's very appropriate to have the Sunday of All Saints after Pentecost. Because without the Holy Spirit, nobody can know anything. Nobody can become a saint. Nobody can know the things of Christ. Because the things of Christ are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is responsible for enlightening us. And we must become vessels of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Scripture says we are vessels, but are we going to be good vessels or bad vessels? The saints were good vessels. The saints had the Holy Spirit within them, and because of that, they did wondrous and marvelous things. So I want to go really kind of a little potpourri, maybe, of the Scriptures that we read last night and today. So we read actually three parables yesterday. So there were readings from the Old Testament. We call them parables. And then we, of course, read the Epistle today, and we read the Gospel. And really, all three kind of come together. At least they do in my mind. I find it always that when we have Scripture that's read together, there's always a common thread. So the common thread today is, what is a saint and how do you become a saint? So let's start with something that is very important in our day and age. I think one of the greatest problems in our day and age is basically loneliness. Maybe people have friends, but there's a sort of an existential loneliness, an existential angst, a lack of purpose, a lack of strength. You're around people that, if you're a Christian now I'm talking about, if you're a Christian who struggles to believe, if you're living in a secular way, then you're around your own kind. But if you're a Christian struggling to live in a Christian way, you're surrounded by people for whom that's not important. Even people that say that they're Christian, but certainly they live and act in a secular way. So there's a kind of loneliness because of that. But an Orthodox Christian should not feel lonely. First of all, we have the Holy Spirit abiding within us. Second of all, we have the whole panoply of the saints. They're always present. They're always interceding for us. They're not dead. This idea that there's this sleep or something before resurrection, this where there's the soul is insensible, that's a recent heresy, a couple hundred years, a few hundred years. The church has always understood that God is the God of the living, not of the dead. So the saints are alive. We have their icons on the walls, and they're alive, and they can hear us. They can hear us better than they would have heard us in this life. Because after all, in this life, you can only hear one or a couple people at once. Myself, I can only hear one person at once. The saints can hear thousands, millions at once because they're not constrained by the limitations of the mortal body. Now, we will have immortal bodies, and they won't have any of those constraints. So we'll be able to hear and see and know perfectly well with our perfect bodies. But it's really important to know that people are behind you. Everybody does better when they know they got somebody that believes in them, somebody that has their back. Everybody does. This is critical. This is the most critical thing for child development, and it's the most critical thing, really, for all of us, that we have somebody that believes in us. Well, who believes in us, and who's got our back? The Holy Spirit is within us. Jesus Christ died for us. He made many promises, which he fully intends to fulfill for us. Okay, we might have our mom and our dad and that believe in us. But oftentimes, especially if we've come to the faith and from childhood we weren't in the faith, there's a lot we don't connect with them. Who really has our back? The saints. Who is always with us? The saints. So listen to this end of Hebrews and see if it inspires you a little bit. It inspires me, because I'll tell you what, I'll just be confessional here. So many things happen to me every day and every week that are just, they're just confusing. They're just confusing and they're just hurtful, and people come, people go. People do something smart, people do something terrible. It's very often kind of lonely. But that's just because of my passions, because I shouldn't feel lonely. I should remember what I'm going to tell you a little bit more. And I do remember it, and it's exciting to be able to read it. So he says, St. Paul says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You are not alone. You are never alone. Even when you feel lonely, you are not alone. It's a very powerful thing. It's very important. A priest feels this very acutely. When we serve in the altar, even if the church is almost empty, I'm not alone. There's a very powerful presence when you serve in the altar. But there's always a powerful presence if we only make ourselves aware of it and remember it. So perhaps you get weary of doing good. You get weary of doing things and not having the results that you think you should have. You get weary of praying for somebody and, you know, it doesn't look like anything's happening. In fact, things are getting worse. Maybe you get weary of those things. But the saints are no longer weary. They got weary like you, by the way. They just struggled better than we do. But now they don't get weary. You can come to them and you can say, Holy Penteleimon, I just can't handle what's going on right now. Please pray for me. And he will. And he'll help you. And you'll begin to feel his hand upon you. Or whatever other holy one you wish to pray to. It's very, very important. And it will help you in doing good. Because after all, we're not living in order to do bad. We're living in order to do good. Doing good in Christianity has had a bad name for a while, since the heresies of the so-called Reformation. We are born to be good because God is good. We are born to be perfect because God is perfect. Well, you don't become good and you don't become perfect by doing terrible things. You struggle in the Christian life, and it's a hard thing, since most of society is not for it. So let's read some other things. From the Gospel of Matthew, he says, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. A lot of times people interpret this as saying, okay, I must confess Christ when there's someone says they're going to run me through with a sword otherwise, if I don't confess to the demons. Well, you certainly have to do it in that case, that's for sure. But really, this confession is from how we live. So think of this confession in terms of, if you are a Christian, you live like a Christian, you act like a Christian, you are a Christian. Therefore, that's your confession. Your confession is that you know that there is something eternal and that this life is temporal. That's your confession. And you don't live a frivolous life, a foolish life, a profane life. That's our confession. If we confess Christ in this way, then he will confess us also. Of course, we can only do it imperfectly, but he can perfectly receive us into his bosom. Our Lord goes on to say, He who loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So this is, in a way, you can take this in a negative sense and say, that's the definition of a saint. A saint is someone who loves God more than father or mother, more than life itself, more than all the little things that we do that we like, all our little ego things and all our little passions. He loves God more than those things, and he struggles against those things. And he takes up his cross. We live in an age where we don't want to suffer. I mean, we don't even want to wait 3 minutes to get a hamburger. We don't want to suffer. Life has suffering with it, but that's incidental. It should be unimportant. What's important is doing the right thing. So taking up the cross is not literally saying, okay, here I am, I'm going to suffer now. People are afraid of that. People are really wimpy. We have to be strong. Christianity is for the courageous. So if you don't have much courage, well, you better find some by struggling to read the lives of the saints and read the scriptures and pray and become more active in your Christianity, more active in coming to church, confessing, communing, because you need to have courage to live this life. Christian life is not for cowards at all. But taking up the cross is not just or only or really at all. The focus is not at all on being ready to suffer. The focus is on obeying Christ to become like him. That's what taking up the cross is. And that's what the saints did. And we shouldn't feel alone. Many of them have done it. So we can do it too. A lot of times people feel they can't do it because, well, there's too much wrong with them. Well, there was a lot wrong with the saints. You read their stories. You can find some pretty amazing things. I don't think any one of us can claim to have sinned as grievously as St. Mary of Egypt. And yet, she became like an angel in this life. So you are good enough, because the witness of the saints tells us that you are good enough. Glory be to God that the Lord has shown us so many of his chosen ones, of his holy ones, as an example for us. So we should take their example, we should listen to their example, and we should not feel alone, and we should struggle to live a righteous life. We can do it. Today is proof about it. Now tomorrow, we begin fasting. You can get started with living a righteous life tomorrow. Or continue, I should say. I hope you're continuing. It's a fast. So don't be eating meat and cheese and eggs and stuff. And you can eat fish on the weekends and on some other days too. And struggle to increase your prayer. And struggle to come to the services more frequently. And struggle to love your brother and to love your enemy. And to pray a little bit more for them. If you're not already praying for people that are vexing to you, then you better start. That's part of becoming a saint. All these things together, little bit by little bit. Father Methodius, who's the priest from Kenya, he has this saying, because sometimes he's seen me about progress about something, a little frustrating. He says, slow by slow. You go slow by slow. Little bit, slow by slow. So that's what we got to do. A little bit, slow by slow. And if you do a little bit, slow by slow, then eventually you become a saint. God bless you. Amen.